You're listening to Colchonero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat, making his standard Monday appearance, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat. Rob is here to discuss Atletico's exploits at Espanyol, a 1-0 win for Los Colchoneros on Saturday, courtesy of an Antoine Griezmann goal, less than 20 minutes from time. We'll talk about everything there is to talk about from that game, plus preview Villarreal's final visit to the Vicente Calderon. That's coming up on Tuesday. And we'll answer your questions. All that and more after this.
I think it's a good thing, too, because I just got this email that there's a swarm of bees on campus.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's like a problem.
Yeah, we have bee problems. I'm not going anywhere. Not going anywhere near campus.
Bees are supposedly going extinct, aren't they? So I guess it's a good thing.
No, that's what you hear. That's what the media tells you.
Turns out it's not true in Arizona.
They're lying to you. I get these emails fairly frequently. It's kind of distressing if you think about it.
Yeah, swarm of bees doesn't exactly sound too inviting.
Yeah, that's why I just quietly delete those emails and hope that they go away.
Yeah, that's sort of my strategy, too.
So, let us begin. It's been a few episodes since you've been on.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
That's good. It's good to have you back for your Monday appearance. Let's start, as we usually do, with the whip around, the Liga Santander whip around. We are through 33 rounds, 5 to go. The 34th round starts tomorrow, Tuesday. We're recording this Monday night in the United States, so it's already tomorrow in Europe. But no matter, we'll plug away anyway. We start on Friday with Sevilla's 2-0 win over the fighting Tony Adamses of Granada.
Gotta love him. Flying, kicking ass.
Flying, kicking, dancing, kicking arse, and getting their arses kicked.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not the best manager in the world.
They suck. They're going down. Sevilla now are unbeaten in 3. They've won 2 of the last 3. And they're starting to round into form a little bit. We'll have a little discussion about third place later on. Saturday, Malaga with a 2-0 win over Valencia. That's their third win in 4 for Malaga, who are safe and trying to make a late run at around 12th place or so, 13th place. They can do it. Villarreal with a 2-1 win over Leganés, huffing and puffing and scoring an illegal goal in stoppage time. You saw it, right?
No, I actually didn't see this.
Cedric Bakambu swatted it into the goal in stoppage time to win the game.
Wow.
Yeah.
He handballed it in the goal.
Handballed it in. It wasn't caught. So, yeah, we need the VARs.
Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah, we need them. Because they just stole a draw away from Leganés. That's tough on Leganés, man. The last 2 weeks have been tough for them. Leo Baptistão beat them in stoppage time, and then Bakambu scored in a goal that should not have stood in stoppage time. They're now just 4 points clear of safety. Or they're 4 points clear of the drop zone, I should say.
Yeah, I'm sure they won't mind if they end up staying up in the end.
It's going to be a rough run-in for them. Osasuna, how about them? A 2-2 draw with Sporting Heal, and that is the third time in 4 Osasuna have not lost, although it looks very much like it's going to be too little too late for Osasuna, who are 9 points adrift of safety, still bottom of La Liga. On Sunday was a big day. Real Sociedad, the early game, they beat Deportivo 1-0 at Anoeta to keep their fight for Europa League alive. Celta Vigo dropping a 1-0 result at home to Real Betis. Celta Vigo, of course, preparing for the Europa League semifinals next week against Manchester United. On Gran Canaria, Las Palmas a 1-1 draw with Deportivo Alaves. And the Clásico rounded out Sunday. One of the best Clásicos I've ever watched. I normally do not like watching this game, but I very much enjoyed this one. Real Madrid 2, Barcelona 3.
Yeah, it was a great one. It's hard to deny watching Messi at this point in his career. He's just on a different level.
Honestly, this is when I enjoy watching Barcelona most, when they suck and they have to give everything to Messi. I'm weird in that I don't normally like watching them when, you know, they're not overly dependent on Messi. They bore me.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Messi is just one of those must-watch players. But
he was on another planet on yesterday, though. He was unbelievable.
Well, I mean, if that's the player you're going to have to keep relying on again and again, that's probably the right one to rely on.
It's a pretty good one, yes. And then the result today, Raul Garcia, of course, handing Athletic Club a 1-0 win at 10-man Eibar. Athletic very much alive in the Europa League hunt. So the top six looks like this. Barcelona are the new leaders on 75 points. They have the head-to-head advantage over Real Madrid, who are also on 75 points but have a game in hand. Atletico are in third, as we'll talk about. Sevilla in fourth on 65 points. Villarreal in fifth on 57. Athletic in sixth on 56. Then Real Sociedad in seventh on 55. Eibar are 5 points back of Real Sociedad. Not looking too good for them for Europa League, but still a phenomenal season for the Basque side. Now, the one result we did not mention, we will mention it now. Espanyol 0, Atletico Madrid 1. That is Espanyol 0, Atletico 1 at Espanyol. Rob, you did the match report for this game, for Into the Calderon, and I gotta say, it was not the most enthralling game Atleti have played recently. Would you agree with this? And all in all, was this a deserved result? Because Espanyol pressured quite a bit.
Yeah, they did. It was quite an interesting match, really. Not a whole lot of anything happened in the first half. Second half, it opened up slightly, but was still a little bit nervous from both sides. You could see Atleti still had that bit of a Champions League hangover. Yeah, as you say, not a very interesting game overall. Writing the match report was a bit of a sleepy affair, but, you know, got through it. And always good to get a win, and it sort of seemed early on like one of those games where Griezmann was just going to have to win it for Atleti to get anything going offensively, really.
Well, and win it he did. That is the 11th goal Griezmann has scored this season that has given points to Atleti. He has been the match decider this season. He's been more decisive than ever as he continues this scintillating run of form that started at the beginning of the year. He scored his goal was, I don't think it's getting enough love. This was a great goal. Off the volley, it was off a throw-in, actually. Saul took a shot that was deflected. I don't remember who deflected it for Espanyol, but they left Griezmann unmarked, which, why would you do that? He's alone at Diego Lopez's near post, and he hits the volley into the goal. Really nicely taken. Great technique.
Yeah, agreed. It was a very smooth volley, and it looked easy, but that's because he's such a great player.
Yeah, that was his 25th goal of the season, and if you'd asked me in December, I would have said there was no chance he was going to hit 25 this season, let alone his career high of 32, that he has a pretty good chance now, I'd say, of equaling or surpassing from last season.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. He's having a great season, and considering all of last summer, pretty much, Champions League final, and then the entirety of the Euros, I mean, his slump at the beginning of the season was understandable, but...
Yeah, and we talked about that before, how he was so fatigued, and the conversation was, oh, Griezmann's head is somewhere else. Yeah, he was getting into bed and getting some rest. He was really fatigued. Carrying France and carrying Atleti all through last spring, but now we are knee deep in the biggest part of the season for Atletico, and he looks very much up for it. Again, I think this is as more decisive than he's ever been, and he's going to be key, of course, as you know, we'll talk about the Champions League draw against Real Madrid and against and in the race for third place. His goals have been huge. They're going to continue to be huge. Other interesting things from this game. Jose Jimenez. Let's talk about Jose Ma. The new Swiss Army knife.
Wonderful piece on him today.
I did, yes. Atletico's new switchblade. That is up on Into the Calderon. I wrote it, posted it this morning, and he has kind of become Simeone's catch-all. He has kind of become the new Swiss Army knife. We saw him in midfield against Osasuna, and Leicester. The Leicester game, I contend, is probably the best game he's ever played in an Atleti shirt. And then on Saturday, we saw him at right back, a position he had not played since his days as a teenager in Uruguay. Espanyol went after him, as they should have, a bit nervous early on. But by the end of this, I mean, he had won more headers and blocked more passes than anyone else in Espanyol's back line. I'd say he adjusted pretty well.
Yeah, you know, that's probably his worst position of the three he's played in. And if he was still as decent and passable as he was against Espanyol, then that's very positive going forward for him.
No, and he didn't end up charging around the middle, of the park either, and leave Atletico exposed on the right flank. And he's stuck to the right side with Koke, and he stuck to his position, and he did pretty well. He moved forward he moved into attacking positions as the game moved forward. He looked more comfortable, especially after the early going in the first half, where half of Espanyol's attacks were down Jimenez's side. They were clearly targeting him.
Yeah, and it could have been a big problem if he had lost his discipline and not stayed in on that right side, because Koke isn't always there either. So
yeah,
both of them were floating around in the center of the pitch, then that would have been a problem.
And we've mentioned that Koke is now drifting toward the middle when Atleti are countering. When Atleti have possession, you often see Koke in the middle of the pitch.
Yep, absolutely. He'll drop into that number 10 hole a lot of the time.
Yeah, so Jimenez was great. And he's going to... This is perhaps Simeone's secret weapon as we reach the end of the season. The time for silverware is near, and this could be Cholo's, as I said, his secret weapon, because it seems like now he's willing to play anywhere. He's fully in on the cause, despite having not played much earlier this season and having a lot of doubts about his future at the club. Who knows what the summer holds? You know, we still have the transfer ban to be decided, but it's encouraging to see him take over right back. He's probably going to do it again Tuesday because Vrsaljko is still out.
Yeah, probably so. It'll be interesting to see where he ends up long term, whether that's at Atletico or somewhere else. But in terms of his position, because you could see a future for him either at center back or in defensive midfield.
So yeah,
it'll be interesting.
Who knows? And this is not at all clear cut. And Atleti are going to have some very interesting decisions to make in probably a year's time, with regards to Jose Mar, with regards to Lucas Hernandez, who is a huge prospect and needs to play more, but you can't really find a place for him because Stefan Savic has been in really good form lately, and there's no dropping Diego Godin. It's a tough call for Simeone and for the club.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good problem to have. Now, finally, we're getting a lot of players back from injury, so the bench was a lot less light than it has been in the last few weeks.
Yeah, you actually have, like, really real professional players. Not to diss anyone on the B team, but they're not at the level of, you know, players like Vrsaljko or Thiago or, you know, Juan Fran before he got hurt, so...
Yeah, now we have some quality players on the bench, and it's been really encouraging. A lot of the young players have stepped up the second half of the season.
Yeah.
Lucas, Correa, Thomas, they've all done very well.
Yeah, Thomas came on at halftime in this game. And I thought that was an interesting sub. He came on for Torres. And an interesting fact from at Info Atleti, a really, really good Atleti statistical resource. Since Torres came back to the club in 2015, Atletico had not won a game in which he had been substituted at halftime.
Wow.
But they won this one. Yeah, I think it was a loss and three draws. Pretty sure that was it. They had never won in four.
It was a ballsy decision to take him off, because in a game where you probably needed 3 points away from home, to bring on a defensive midfielder for a striker is certainly risky, but it certainly paid off.
Yeah, I think it shows that Simeone is trusting Tomas with more of an attacking role. He's using him more as an attacking midfielder now. Whereas in the past, he would just throw him on to, you know, short and shut up shop in midfield. Now he's using him more as an attacking outlet. It's interesting to see.
Yeah, and in that Leicester game as well, and some of his recent performances, he just looks like a freight train going through the midfield.
Yeah.
He can just absolutely blow by everybody. It's really incredible.
So Tomas came on at halftime, and then Kevin Gamero was the second and final substitute. First game in a month for him. He was supposed to play against both Osasuna and Leicester, but Atleti had no use for him, no need for him in either of those games, so he sat.
Yeah, probably for the best.
Yeah, definitely.
Get back to his best, because we may need him down the stretch.
Yeah, Atleti are definitely going to need him, because Torres is just, he should not be starting.
No.
I love El Nino. He's a legend, and he has been good at times this season, but if Gamero is fit, he's got to be starting. That's, I think, kind of the beginning and end of it.
Yeah, I think Torres is good in some situations, and quite good as a substitute, but from the start, I just don't really see it. I don't think he's got that same explosiveness that he once had.
Yeah, he's more of a defensive forward now, which is fine, but he's not being terribly productive.
It's extremely useful, just not from the start, I would say.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. What else we got from this? Oh, possession was dead even. Espanyol had only 7 more touches than Atletico in this game. 700 to 693. I think that was the touch total.
They're a good team. It's not like when Atletico played Osasuna the other match.
Espanyol, give them credit.
This is a real organized team.
They're an organized team. Moreno is a really, really good forward. Piatti has been sensational this season. Yeah, Kike Sanchez-Flores has done a really good job with this team. I don't think they're going to be in the Europa League. I think this loss probably dents those hopes pretty severely. But they're going to be in the top half. They aren't often in the top half. They've had a good season. They've really done pretty well. And this could be the start of perhaps maybe a bit of a, I don't really want to say renaissance for them, but the start of a new period for them where they actually could challenge and get back into Europe.
Yeah, they're very heavily built around some quite experienced La Liga veterans. You know, people like Javi Fuego and Pablo Piatti and Jose Antonio Reyes have been around for absolute ages.
I mean, they have half of the Atletico team that won the 2010 Europa League. You'd think that they'd be pretty experienced.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's crazy.
You have Kike, you have Reyes, you have Jurado. You know, you have Leo Baptistao as well, who used to play at Atleti. It's still half owned by Atleti, actually.
It's a really weird team, and Diego Lopez in goal as well is a bit of a trip.
That was the strangest. Yeah, that they have Diego Lopez who can still do a job there, and you have Diego Reyes as well. He's fine back there. So, and they have I think a nice team, and this is the first real year of a real project for them. And I honestly didn't think Atleti were going to win this game because you had the midweek against Leicester, which took a lot out of this team. You could see it, how much it took to get through that final half an hour. And Espanyol, I wrote the preview, I kind of likened how people said Leicester were a mini Atletico, and that's true, but Espanyol were like a mini Leicester. I thought this was going to be a very difficult game, and it was, but Atletico gutted out the win and continued this great run they're on. They have not lost away in any competition since December the 12th. Over 4 months.
Yeah, and they haven't lost a game since that Barcelona match as well, so they've been absolutely killing it for the last couple months since the start of the new year, really.
They shouldn't have lost that Barca game either.
Right, exactly.
That really could have damaged them, but it didn't, and now you're seeing an Atleti that is, it looks like they're peaking. It really does.
Yeah, and it's at the exact right time. It couldn't really be a better time.
Yeah, it really is. If you're going to pick a time in the season to do well, it's March, April, and May is probably the primo time to do it.
and they seem confident in their system. They feel like they can trust themselves defensively, as we saw at the King Power. And as well as going forward, they look good as well. They have a lot of options.
Yeah, this was kind of a weird game because Espanyol and Atletico, neither one really wanted the ball. But Atleti really put on the pressure after about an hour and got the goal and held out from there. And right after the goal, Jan Oblak had to make an amazing save on Leo Baptistao because Savage failed to make a clearance. Koke lost the ball, coming up trying to start a counter. Then Felipe got nutmegged, like, okay. And Leo Baptistao is through 1v1, and Oblak makes a wonderful save to keep it 1-0.
Yeah, Oblak's really, honestly, been perfect since coming back from injury.
Yeah, it's good to have him back.
You could excuse him, even if he wasn't that good coming back from injury, because of how long he was out, but he's been great.
And it looks as if he's going to win the Zamora again for fewest goals conceded. Atleti have conceded 24 goals this season. Villarreal 27. Of course, Oblak has not been in goal for all of these games because he, you know, had dislocated his shoulder and was out for a couple months. But it looks like he is going to win the award for lowest goals per game ratio again, which speaks highly of him as well as Atleti's defense.
It must be a pleasure for a goalkeeper to be able to sit right behind that Atleti defense.
Yeah, he's so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to circle back real quick to Griezmann before we move on. Do you think that Atleti are running the risk or have run the risk of Griezmann dependencia? You know, kind of like Barcelona and their heavy reliance on Lionel Messi. Are Atleti too reliant on Griezmann's moments of genius, or do you think that there's a balance there that's just right?
I actually think they've gotten a pretty good balance, because you see with Barcelona, when Messi is sort of the focal point, everything goes through him. Mm-hmm. This year, when they were missing Sergio Busquets for large periods, they didn't really have that, and Messi had to drop in the midfield and do some of the stuff that Busquets used to do. But with this Atleti team, Griezmann isn't in the game for long stretches. He'll pop up at the right moment. And I think the rest of the team has really put on some good performances. Saul, in particular, has just been a warrior the second half of the season. And I think Carrasco's done better, if still a bit disappointing. And we still have Kevin Gamero, who is kind of a question mark at this point.
With his health and...
Yeah, and with his form.
In this, you mentioned how Griezmann kind of pops up when he's needed. Saturday was a good case of this, because he didn't play his best game, but he scored the winning goal. He managed to pop up, and he's done that a few times this season. I remember the Celta game as well. He had a really poor game and still managed to score the winner, like 3 minutes from time. I think Atleti do kind of run the risk of this, but at the same time, you have a deep team that is more cohesive than it was earlier in the season and is playing better on the whole. If early in the season, the problem was Griezmann didn't show up and then no one else would show up. Now, Griezmann himself is playing better, which lessens the need for other players to perform, you know, heroic acts of genius and brilliance like Griezmann does, you know, almost weekly now.
Yeah, that's true. And this team has really grown up, and they seem like that they can operate without him, but certainly having a player like Antoine Griezmann in any team is going to be a huge resource that teams are going to use if they're smart.
I think by default they have to rely heavily on Griezmann because he's a world-class player and he's brilliant. But at the same time, it's not at the level of Messi dependencia, like we saw several years ago. We've seen again now, because everything in life is cyclical. Yeah, I think on some level you have to be dependent on Griezmann. It's just early in the season they were really dependent on him, like they couldn't. You know, it was like a fish out of water if he wasn't playing well.
Yeah, and now I mean, it would be bad coaching if he wasn't the focal point of this team. He should be. He's the best player.
Yeah.
Offensively, certainly.
And he is still the focal point. And now, when he's not playing well, Atleti can still go ahead or keep it close until he finds his footing and scores a great goal off a volley like he did on Saturday to go and win the game for you.
Yeah, I wouldn't even really be bricking it too much if he was out for a match. I think that they could probably get by, but for a long stretch of games, that's when you'd really start to worry.
Like, I'm terrified of what if he gets hurt? Like, what if Griezmann does his knee or something? Like, I don't even want to speak
towards the end of the season, that would be it.
I don't even want to speak that into existence.
No, but, absolutely not.
Yeah, but God, I can't even imagine. So I won't imagine it. Let's just move on.
Yes, agreed.
Let's not talk about that. Mattress maker of the match.
Probably got to be Griezmann. I mean, he wasn't totally in it for the whole time. I think you could make a case for either Godin or Savage. I think they were both quite good. I think since the Derby, Savage has been really quite good, I never thought would happen.
Let's say a word on Savage for a minute here. He's been awesome for like the last, I don't know, month or so. He's quietly been really awesome. And he really struggled for... he's really struggled for most of this season, but he's been very consistent again. So really good to see that, and he's critical. He's really important.
I mean, hell, if you can't get confidence from heading a Cristiano Ronaldo shot off the line, I don't know what will.
That might have been the turnaround moment for him when he made that clearance off the line in the derby. That's true.
Yeah, he's been really good since then. He seems to have his confidence. And we've always known kind of physically he's sort of quite a good center back, but it's just a question of where his head's at a lot of the time. But he seems to be finally clicking in this team.
I'm going to go with Jose Ma as man of the match because this is his first match at right back, and he did really well, all things considered. And he's going to have to do it again Tuesday. But on Saturday, I think that he played a really, really key role and grew into the game as it went along. Godin was also really good, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a given at this point that Godin is just going to be totally rock solid.
Yeah. All right. Well, after this, we will move on and talk about Villarreal's visit to the Calderon. Villarreal are next. They are visiting the Vicente Calderon on Tuesday. Before we launch into that, though, I'd like to remind our listeners that you can like Into the Calderon on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Rob, I don't know if you know this, but your Saul piece did serious numbers on Facebook.
Oh, really?
Like, I'm talking 2,000 people reached.
Daggum.
Yeah, we got about 70 more likes from that piece alone.
Oh, sweet.
So, congratulations, Rob.
Shout out to Facebook, man.
Shout out to Facebook and the people who shared it. So, keep on sharing, keep on liking our page. You can also follow Into the Calderon on Twitter at Into the Calderon. And listen and subscribe to Culture Narrow Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. All right, let's talk about Villarreal, their final visit to the Vicente Calderon. It will take place on Tuesday, and this is going to be a very difficult match. Villarreal pounded Atletico earlier this season, back in December at the former El Madrigal. 3-0, that's the last time Atleti lost away, as we mentioned. Rob, how do you see this one going?
Looking forward to it, to be honest, because I think it's interesting that these games are so close together, and Villarreal are a good team, but it's also not nerve-wracking in the sense that they're 11 points off Atleti, so danger.
From that sense, yeah. I'm nervous because Villarreal always show up against the big sides.
That's true.
Like, this is their thing. They always play well against the Barcelonas, the Real Madrids, the Atletico Madrids. They always show up for the big game. Their problem is that, you know, when, you know, the bad teams come to visit, they don't often play well. They have, like, motivational problems. But they have a lot of talent. They are not going to have a problem letting Atleti have the ball. And it's coming 3 days after an exhausting game in Cornea, and then you had an exhausting game before at King Power. I don't think this is a rotation opportunity. I think the game at Las Palmas next weekend is going to be the rotation opportunity. But this will be a tough game. It'll be a tight game. I don't think there will be a whole lot in it. Villarreal are good. They have a really good defense, the second best defense in La Liga. They've been fine, even though Sergio Asenjo went out with another knee injury a few weeks back. So tough on him. But this is a team with a lot of talent.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good matchup, I think, between these two kind of sort of similar teams. But I think they'll contrast each other well. I'm quite looking forward to watching this one, honestly. I think it'll probably be at least a game with a lot of intrigue, if no goals, which is definitely impossible.
Definitely, yeah. Their midfield pair of Bruno and Manu Trigueros, really, really underrated, criminally underrated. I think that's a great midfield pair. Roberto Soriano has also been great for them this season. He came over in summer from Sampdoria. They're a pretty deep team as well, and they're going to challenge Atleti because they can play a pretty similar style to Atleti, and they have a lot of attacking flair to boot. They just don't always show it.
Yeah, and they'll want to confirm their Europa League place next year. They're scrapping it out with two other really good teams, Sociedad and Bilbao.
Yeah, they're just a point ahead of Athletic. They're 2 points ahead of Sociedad. I don't recall off the top of my head what the tiebreakers are between Villarreal and Athletic and La Real, but I don't know off the top of my head, but they're all within 2 points of each other. And Eibar are still in this thing. They're on the outside looking in, but they're still in this thing if any of them slip up.
Yeah, it's good motivation for them, I guess, for the rest of the season. And, I mean, honestly, where they are right now would be fantastic for them. I mean, they've had a wonderful story coming up to La Liga and ever since then.
Yeah, definitely. So, Jose Ma is probably going to start it right back again. Verselko and Juan Fran were training at the Calderon today, Monday. They trained alone. Juan Fran is not going to be fit, obviously, in time for this Champions League semifinals, but the aim, Atletico believe that Verselko can and will be fit next week. So that's
crucial.
That's a big boost, yeah. I don't really want Jose Ma playing right back in the first leg of a Champions League semifinal. I don't really want to see that.
No, the hope is just that Verselko can come back and be what he was before he got injured, because he was fantastic this season.
He's going to end up missing about 6 weeks, which is about right. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but he had a small tear in his left ACL, didn't need surgery, so initially there was optimism he'd be back for the second leg against Leicester, but if they're going to hold him out for the first leg at the Bernabeu, then that's fine.
Yeah, make sure he's right. You want to see him come back healthy, and honestly, when the news first came out about his injury, we were worried that we wouldn't see him for the rest of this year.
Yeah,
so
the initial
him
reports,
coming back at any point is good.
The initial reports were that he was going to miss the rest of the season, and that would have been devastating, because you knew Juan Fran was going to get hurt again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
because
and he had not been at his best this season.
No, because he hasn't been at his best, and he's getting old, and he's starting to look old, honestly, as much as we love him, he's starting to look old.
Yeah, he certainly is.
32, and he's played a heavy, heavy amount of minutes the past few years.
An absolute ton. I mean, he's probably played as much football as the highest minute players in Europe at this point.
At least 12,000 minutes the past 3 years.
Yeah, certainly. So
that's not even including the minutes he's played this year.
Yeah, and this has probably been his least amount of appearances in the season.
Yeah, Juan Fran is at 2,000 minutes this season in 23 league appearances.
Yeah.
And in the Champions League, he is at 430 minutes over 6 appearances.
Sounds about right, yeah.
So yeah, the hope is that Verselko will be back for next Tuesday. In the meantime, it's likely going to be Jose Ma at right back for Villarreal and then Las Palmas, which we're not going to talk about today, as that's, you know, taking place next Saturday. Otherwise, I don't think you're going to see many rotations. Gamero might start. I'd like to see him start. He needs to get some game time in, needs to get some reps in.
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure he's fully fit for the Champions League clash.
Yeah, so I think he should start. Otherwise, I don't think there will be too many changes. I mean, Villarreal are going to deserve Atleti's best. They're going to have to get they're going to get close attention from Atleti. They have to. They're very dangerous.
Yeah, I do wonder if any of the players who were on the bench at Espanyol last weekend will make an appearance in this game. I don't know if maybe Thomas will come in for a bit, because Saul's been playing a lot recently.
Yeah, Saul did get the day off against Osasuna, as did Gabby, as did Koke, as did Griezmann. That could be their last day off.
Yeah,
that could be it.
It's definitely impossible.
That could be it. You might see Tomas, depending on how the game goes. Maybe Thiago comes back in. If Atleti have a lead to protect, you might see Thiago and Lucas come in. Correa didn't play at the weekend either. I'll bet you're going to see Angel Correa.
Yeah, probably so. And who in the world knows what's going on with Nico Gaitán at this point?
Yeah, like Carmen Sandiego, where in the world is Nico Gaitán?
Yeah, we thought it was Churchy, but this is somewhat of a different level.
Yeah, he is sitting on the bench getting ready for his move to England.
I guess. I mean, that would be a pretty good bit of business if Atleti could offload him to England. But
like, they're not going to get $25 million for him like they paid. But you know, I don't think he's going to be back next season,
unless some silly English club offers way too much money,
which they usually do.
That does tend to happen.
Yeah. They do have money there, despite not putting out a very good product. But that's a discussion for another time.
Yeah, we'll get to that when there is an exciting football on.
Yeah. So, do you have a scoreline prediction for this one? You've been hot lately. You've had the hot hand.
I'll go 0-0.
0-0?
Yeah. I after this last weekend and all the games piling up, I could see it happening.
I picked a 1-1 at Espanyol on Saturday. I got half right. I don't think Atleti will lose. I'm going to go 1-1.
Yeah, I think a draw would be fine for Atleti in this game. I don't think that'd be a huge problem.
Now, Sevilla have Celta on Thursday. They're home to Celta on Thursday. I don't know what Eduardo Berizzo is going to do with his team, because a week after that, they have Manchester United at Balaidos in the Europa League semifinals. So that could be a difficult game, although Celta, I think, are better at home than they are away.
Yeah, I think Celta could give Manchester United a bit of a scare in this Europa League. They've been quite good this season. Bro, I thought Iago Aspas has been
Anderlecht. Anderlecht took United to extra time, okay? I think Celta could wallop United.
There's a big chance they could go through. And I mean, it just goes to show you the depth of good teams in La Liga these days.
Anderlecht,
it's ridiculous.
Anderlecht almost freaking won if Tielemans hadn't hit the bar.
God, he looks a player, doesn't he? Yeah. Tielemans.
I heard Monaco are going to get him, because of course they are.
Well, yeah, that's sort of what they do. How do they do that?
Can you imagine that team with Tielemans in it? Gosh.
Oh. I mean, and they're just like chilling, still got João Moutinho when they bought him.
We still got Thomas Lemar and Bernardo Silva, and of course Mbappe is lighting the world on fire, and Falcao is doing great, you know. What more do they need?
I do love that Falcao just came back from 2 years on loan. Is like, I am the captain of this team.
You have
I don't
no
care
idea
what's happened since I've been gone.
You have no idea how happy I am for him.
He's been great.
I'm so thrilled for him. All right, so we think it's gonna finish as a draw. Rob has it as 0-0. I have it as 1-1. Let's get to a couple questions. See, the good people of Twitter have thrown some questions our way.
We love questions.
We do. We have a couple. First question is from @iRahulAnn. Rahul. Hi, Rahul. Is the transfer ban lifted? Now, Atleti's appeal regarding their transfer ban was supposed to be lodged today. Apparently, they had a big old meeting with a few judges, and there has not been a decision yet, but I'm not sure when one is expected. I read that maybe next week there's going to be a decision.
Yeah, these things take time, especially in this appeals process. I'm sure it won't be as quick as maybe we were all hoping it would be. I'm sure people were hoping for a verdict today.
Well, like right now. But no, they just heard the appeal today. The three judges heard the appeal today. The Court of Arbitration for Sport is going to make a ruling, hopefully, next week.
Yeah, you could see this one dragging for a week or a bit. A lot of deliberation, I imagine.
Yeah. From Jack Benson, @Jack_Benson1, friend of the pod. We mentioned Thiago earlier and how he could get some time against Villarreal if things go right. Odds on Thiago making a similar blunder against Villarreal like earlier on in the season and then mysteriously disappearing for a few months. What are the odds?
I think they'd probably be pretty good, because if he plays, he's just such a big question mark at this point. He's been a wonderful servant to Atletico, but I don't know if he's got it anymore.
I just don't think he's that good anymore.
No, he's old. I mean, and I know a lot of people think he's going to be quite a good coach one day, and I hope that he does go down that route, because you could sort of see that in the way that he played.
A couple months ago, Dermot Corrigan proposed, but he threw out the idea that maybe Thiago could be a future Atletico coach. That would be fascinating. Like Zidane took over Real Madrid and Luis Enrique came back to Barcelona.
So, I mean, you could sort of see it. He was sort of a similar type role to what Diego Simeone was at Atleti when he was a player. So, you know, I think it's a definite possibility. He was quite an intelligent player when he played as well. So you could sort of see these midfielders, they tend to be pretty good managers.
Yeah, you've noticed. It's usually the defensive midfielders who grow up to be pretty dang good coaches.
Yep, it tends to go that way for the most part. The strikers, a little too selfish.
Yeah, that normally is not as as successful.
No, I wouldn't put money on Fernando Torres becoming Atleti manager one day.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Before we wrap up, let's talk about the Champions League draw, because we haven't had a podcast since then. The last pod we did, I did it with Renato Gonsalves of Barca Blaugranes. It was a wonderful episode. You should still check it out if you haven't. But that was before the semifinal draw. Now, of course, we have the draw. We know the results. And, of course, it's going to be Atletico and Real Madrid, as I've been saying for, 9 months.
You have been.
I have been.
Credit to you. You have been saying this.
It was unavoidable. UEFA did not want another Madrid derby final, so this had to be it. I thought Atletico were going to get them in the quarterfinals, so I was glad to be wrong on that. But for the fourth year in a row, it will be Atleti against Real Madrid. The other semifinal is Juve and Monaco for the right to go to Cardiff on June 3rd. Rob, is this going to be any different than the last 3 years?
Yeah, because it's over two legs. I think that makes a huge difference. I think that sort of swings it a bit towards Atletico, because I think over two legs, this team is really, really difficult to beat. That's a lot of game time. But Real Madrid, obviously a tough team, but they haven't always looked at their best this season. I think they've gotten lucky in a lot of occasions.
That's the most dangerous thing about Real Madrid, I would say, is when you think they look vulnerable, that's when they become invincible, right? And they have so much depth and so many solutions to so many potential problems, and when it all falls away, they still have Cristiano Ronaldo, the ultimate trump card.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Yeah, Bayern Munich know him
well.
They'll
take about a trillion kind of speculative shots in a game, and eventually one will scrap into the back of the net. Yeah. But of the teams that Atletico could have gotten, this would have been sort of right in the middle of the three. Monaco, obviously, would have been probably the best.
I didn't really want Monaco. I wanted them more.
I didn't want Juventus at all.
Juventus, that would have just been... I don't think there would have been a goal over 180 minutes. Those two teams would have just beaten the stuffing out of each other. Yeah, can
Juventus
you imagine?
Are so scary.
Atleti
they have
and
so
Juve,
many good players in every position.
Atleti and Juve over two legs, that is just dead even. And I thought Monaco would have gotten a couple goals at the Calderon, and that may have been enough for them. I think there is an advantage to playing over two legs. Atleti have been eliminated over two legs against Real Madrid before, but that was because... In part because Arda Turan was an idiot.
Yeah, well, and that was a particularly down season.
Yeah, and that the second leg was... They were really bad in the second leg, and they probably didn't deserve to go through. But I think there is an advantage to having the second leg at home. It's going to be the final European game at the Calderon. It's going to be a Madrid derby in the final European game at the Calderon. It's going to be pretty
special. It's going to be pumping.
Yeah, it's going to be a really, really special atmosphere, and it could be a really, really special night. Atleti have to score in the away leg. That's not up for debate. I think if they go back to the Calderon goalless or down 1-0, they're not going to win.
That's a problem.
I think they need to score at Real Madrid. If they do that, they might be in pretty good shape. But whatever happens, happens. I'll say this. The best team is going to advance from this tie. And Real Madrid are the best team in the world. And to win the Champions League, Atleti are going to have to beat the best team in the world, which is honestly how it should be. And if Atleti cannot beat Real Madrid and are knocked out by that team for the fourth year in a row, they don't deserve to win the European Cup. At some point, you got to beat them. You got to beat them.
Yeah, that's fair. And, you know, this is a real moment of truth for Diego Simeone in this iteration of Atletico. The third time or fourth time in the last 4 years that they've come up in a huge match against Real Madrid, and I think this time they're really wanting to put things right more than they need to. So,
and they know if they get to the final, they won't face Real Madrid if they are in the final.
Yeah, I mean that's just as good as
that's got to be a motivator. All
that's
right,
that's the best part.
Yeah. So, first leg, May 2nd at the Bernabeu. Second leg, May 10th at the Calderon. We are going to have so much content on it, you won't even believe it. We're going to be talking again to the Managing Madrid guys, as it seems like we always do. But they're fun. They're good people. So, even though the team they support is bad and evil.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
They're still good people. So
their heart is in the trophy cabinet.
Yeah, they have their flaws, but, you know, we like them.
Well, they gotta make sure they don't throw away this league title.
Yeah, because that is... I still think they're gonna win the league.
It looks like.
If they didn't have the game in hand, then it might be tougher. But they still had the game at hand against Celta, and I think they're going to win that game, and they'll do enough to win La Liga.
That game's going to be played way at the end of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Celta could be in a Europa League final by that point and not care. So
I think Celta will be in a Europa League final.
That's a bold prediction, but I don't hate it at all.
Tonya, Anderlecht took this United team to extra time, okay?
I know.
United's not good. United are not good. So, yeah, and Celta are really good. And Celta are really good at knockout ties. I'll tell you what, when Simeone leaves, watch for the name Eduardo Berizzo. I think Atleti are going to go after him. He plays an attacking style. He gets a lot out of a team that there's not a lot of money pumped into them, and he has shown that he is really, really good in knockout ties.
Yeah, he's ticking a lot of the boxes. I'll be interested to see what they do next year if they have a little bit of a slump after a positive season, but it'll be interesting to see.
Back-to-back Copa del Rey semifinals, Europa League semifinal, potential final this year. Just Berizzo is a name to look out for.
Yeah, they've been quite good this season. I've been very impressed by them. And they're in 10th. I mean,
yeah,
it's crazy.
They're 10th. All right. Anything else, Rob?
No, that's it for me.
All right. Let's sign off. I'll ask you, Rob, to stick around for just a second. But, Rob, thanks for coming on. Your first appearance in 3 podcasts. It was a good one.
Yeah, it's good to be back, as usual. Not the most exciting game this weekend, but, you know, exciting part of the season.
We still found things to talk about. You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. That's rwalk03. You can follow me at jbbaren, jbbaren. Again, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Follow the blog on Twitter at IntoTheCalderon. And you can subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colchonero Chat. We're approaching episode number 50. Our next one will be number 50.
Woohoo!
You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. And that's that. Thanks for listening, as ever, to Colchonero Chat. We will catch you on the flip. Adios.